This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida State Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope that everybody had a really great week, and I hope that everybody's going to have a really good weekend. Before I go even further, first, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there listening. I hope that you guys really enjoy your weekend, not just one day, but the entire weekend. And I'm rooting for y'all, man, not even just because I'm a guy, but I'll be honest, man, Father's Day does not necessarily seem like the biggest holiday in the world. It's like Mother's Day is such a huge holiday and is always celebrated like across the world. And it's always anticipated like at least like a couple weeks beforehand. And it seems like with Father's Day rolls around, it's like, meh, which I mean, it's cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, mothers are always going to be celebrated and appreciated just because of so much that they do for the kids and everything. But fathers do the same thing. I mean, I think fathers should definitely be celebrated. And for all the fathers out there, I know that I'm not a father myself, but for all the dads out there, enjoy yourself, man. You know, this is your time to shine. This is your time to just relax, do your thing, celebrate yourself for all the hard work that you do to take care of your families. And for the kids and for the wives and everything, make sure the man is taken care of, no doubt. But like I say, you know, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, man. And I hope that you guys have a really great weekend. And also for Florida State fans, I know that there's a lot of people who are talking about the baseball game that took place Friday night. So I'll be honest. So at this time that I'm recording this, it is Friday night and the game is still currently going on. Florida State, last time I checked, Florida State was up 11-9, I believe. So by the time this comes out, clearly there will be a winner. I hope that it's Florida State. I'll be honest, I'm not like a baseball guru, but you know, at least from the people that I know in Tallahassee to even some people that I interact with on social media, they tell me that this team is really legit. And, you know, I've been trying to keep a hold of them, you know, throughout the season. You know, I don't necessarily have time to watch all the baseball games, but I have had a chance to watch like glimpses of a few. And I was definitely tuned into this matchup against Tennessee. And I know that to many people that's a really big game there. So by the time this comes out, I hope that we have some happy fans listening, because I hope that the baseball team can find a way to pull out this win right here. But without further ado, this is a basketball podcast, and we got to discuss the Noles from a basketball standpoint. And some big news had just came out earlier this week, and I got to discuss them. The first big news that came out, Dwayne Wembley Jr. has committed to Florida State. For those who may have not heard of the name, he is currently still in high school. He graduates next year in 2025 from St. Thomas Aquinas. I hope that I'm saying that correctly. He's ranked top 13 in the state of Florida as far as basketball. 6'6", weighs 210 pounds. And for those who don't know him as well, he also plays football. So he's a football athlete and a basketball player as well at the same time. So the way that I look at him, he's a freak of nature. And I don't know, you know, for me, I was an athlete growing up. So I went mostly basketball. I was a basketball player growing up. And I always had to play basketball against a couple guys who play both football and basketball. And let me just tell you that it's not necessarily a cakewalk whenever you're going up against those guys, because those guys are super strong. They're super physical. And a lot of them, they don't really know how to balance or really like adjust to playing either sport, you know, especially for those who are mostly football players. Because I mean, there's athletes that they'll play one sport more than the other, but for those who are really primarily focused on football and then they just kind of play basketball, you know, just to have fun, or maybe they join a team just because, you know, they may have needed somebody on the roster, it's hard to go up against those guys because they're always on go and they're always looking to be super physical, like I said earlier. And some of them, they will foul the hell out of you, and it's really hard fouls, and like, you know, it's almost like a tackle that's about to take place on you. So, I mean, that's just something that I wanted to point out. So, basically, what I'm saying is that, like I said, you know, Dwayne Wembley Jr., at least to me, he is a freak of nature. His game is super incredible, and I think that it's going to be really I think he's going to be really valuable to this Florida State team, and I'm glad that he chose us in Tallahassee. I think that as far as what I heard, he had a really great conversation with Coach Ham and the rest of the coaching staff. You know, it seemed like, you know, they were locked in on trying to help him develop him, you know, moving forward. And I think it's the right decision, honestly. I mean, he's a tremendous all-around player. You know who he reminds me of? This might sound crazy. Maybe some people may agree. Maybe some people may disagree. He reminds me a lot of Cam Corn in a way. And I know that's kind of crazy because Dwayne is 6'6". Cam Corn is around like 6'10", 6'11". So obviously size-wise and position-wise, they're not the same. But I think as far as build and as far as just that athleticism and physicality that they play with, because anybody who watched Cam, you know, throughout his Florida State career, he was super physical under the basket. And, you know, he has such a strong build. And he was actually really skilled as well. I don't know if people really understood how skilled Cam Corn was, but he really was. But Dwayne Wimley's definitely the same way. As far as from the games that I watched with him, he is a guy who can attack the basket at will. Whether it's him putting the ball on the floor and being in attack mode, whether it's him playing without the basketball, beating defenders off backdoor cuts, or just possibly playing in the pick and roll, he can find a way to score inside. And it's not saying that he can't score outside, because at least from what I saw, you know, he does have a nice mid-range, but his bread and butter is scoring inside. And I think that that's really dope. And I think that's really great, especially for a Florida State team who plays a fast style offense. I mean, especially if you watch this team last year and even the years before, as soon as Florida State gets a defensive rebound, they're looking to push the pace. You know what I'm saying? High percentage shots, transition buckets is where they thrive at. And I think that Dwayne Wimley is a guy who can fit into that system and in that culture tremendously offense-wise and be able to thrive under that system. And then also defensively, I think one thing about him is that he will challenge defenders. He is really good at challenging defenders, whether it's under the basket, whether it's on the perimeter. You know, this is also a Florida State team who loves to switch, whether it's 1-4 or even 1-5, I mean, as we saw last year. So guarding multiple defenders is a requirement with this Florida State team. And I think Dwayne does that tremendously. So from the offensive aspect, I think that he'll be really good. Defensive aspect, I think he'll probably make his biggest impact defensively. And I think that he could be a guy, depending on whether he starts or come off the bench, whatever it is, I think that he can be a guy that can be an energizer on the end of the floor and really be able to set the tone. Because once you add that physicality that he has, and just, it's not even just the physicality and just, you know, being able to alter shots and just defend shots. To me, it's really just effort. And I've said this over a million times, like, effort is just something that you can't teach. You just gotta have it. Like, you just have to have that pride to defend and just be able to get stops on the defensive end. And that's why throughout basketball history, we recognize a lot of great defenders as who they are, because of the effort. You have to want to get stops on defense. And at least from what I've seen, Dwayne Wimley is definitely one of those guys who loves getting stops on defense. So I love this for him. You know, he's had a really well-decorated high school career. You know, he's played at the highest level. He's played against elite competition. Obviously, he has another year under his belt. I think if there's one thing that I want to see more from him, you know, in his senior year, I want to see how he can expand his range a little bit more. I want to see if he can be able to, I'm not going to say be a sniper from three-point land, but at least, you know, be able to knock down the three-point shot consistently. And once he's able to do that and you can be very versatile both inside and out, he will be, I mean, he's already a matchup nightmare for defenders, but if you add that to his resume, like the outside game, dog, like he will be like, It'll be just a difficult assignment for anybody who has to defend him. So Dwayne Wimley is a huge pickup for Florida State. And honestly, I wish that I talked about him in the last episode. And that's why I hate it, because see, here's the thing. I recorded the last episode on Sunday and then ended up being released on Tuesday. We got the news that Dwayne had committed to Florida State that Monday. And I was so upset because I'm like, damn, I could have talked about him. I could have really broke down his game. But I did hear about some rumblings about some high school guys who could have been committing. I didn't know exactly who they were, so I didn't know. Like, so I knew about a high school player that was getting ready to commit to Florida State, but the thing was, I didn't know who exactly it was going to be. But once I found out it was Dwayne Wimley, I talked to a couple guys. They told me that he was legit, so I had to go do my homework myself. And I 1000% agree. This guy's a big deal. This guy is a really big deal. Like I say, you know, he has another year of high school under his belt before he does play at college. But one thing that I want for him to do, I want him to really use his senior year to get better. Obviously, be a better player overall, be a better leader, floor general, defender, whatever it is. You know, use that last year of high school as a way to really prepare yourself for the college level. And I'm sure that he is aware of that. I'm sure that his coaching staff at high school is aware of that. You know, prepare yourself right now to be at the next level. I mean, with your game now, you are pretty much prepared, but that senior year is going to make a big difference for him. So for basketball heads like me, stay in tune with Dwayne throughout a senior year. Stay in tune with him. I know that we're going to be more focused on our team, you know, and what we got at the current moment. But make sure to, you know, if you do have time, stay focused on him and watch his development, because I think that he has potential to be a really, really great player. All right, let's move on to the next topic. More recruits. This time we got to go on the women's side, though, because give credit to the coaching staff, Coach Brooke Wyckoff, and the rest of the coaching staff. Like I said before, they work in the summer. Well, not even just the coaching staff, but the entire team is. I don't know if people follow the Florida State team on Instagram, Twitter, or wherever, but the team's in the weight room. The newcomers, Leah Williams was there, KK Timpson, Tania Lassen, and everyone else in the weight room, getting to work in, man. It makes me so happy, maybe because I'm a gym rat myself, but proper preparation prevents poor performance. And in order to be ready for the season, you know, you got to work ahead. And, you know, that's what the team is doing. So I'm really excited about that. But back to the recruiting news, we have a visit taking place next month, which I think is very important for this team, because this is a huge one for me, at least, because I've been able to watch this young lady over the past couple of days, and she's the real deal. She's most definitely the real deal. And that is Miss Aubrey Beckham, another class of 2025 guard from Hebron Christian Academy, 5'11". You know what's crazy? It seems like at now, Florida State is like in love with the big guards now. I mean, we got Sydney Bowles from Mississippi State. You know, she's 5'11 as well, and she's a big guard. And now we could potentially get Aubrey Beckham. And I'm not mad at it. You know, I'm not mad at it, man. When you get a player of that type of size and can provide that type of versatility, any team will want to go for that. So why not, honestly? But like I said, 5'11, class of 2025 guard. She is scheduled to have a visit with Florida State July 7th through the 9th over that weekend. So just a couple days after 4th of July, so everybody's going to celebrate with the fireworks and everything, and then after that, it's right back to work. So she will be in Tallahassee, and I hope that it goes well. I hope that it goes well. I hope that we have her best interests. You know, this is a winning program. You know, this women's team has made the tournament, I think, 12, 13 consecutive years, so we win. We win over here. I mean, we haven't won a national championship yet, but at the end of the day, you know, we're building something here, and I think that with the addition of this player here, it could potentially take this team to the next level. But break down her game, a great all-around scorer. She's another player that I like, who attacks the basket ferociously, loves to take high percentage shots, attacks the driving lane, comes off of ball screens very effectively. Once she gets that first step past her defender, there's no turning back. She has tremendous size, can absorb contact around the rim. She can also finish with a lot of acrobatic layups, too. There was one game that I saw where she had a reverse layup. I thought it was super dope. But she can also score on the outside as well. And I think she's a really good playmaker as well. I think she's one that if you need her to, she could facilitate the offense. That's the thing. That's why I love her so much, is because she could play multiple roles on a team. If you need her to be the best scorer, she's capable of doing that. If you need her to play make and set other teammates up, she can do that as well. So I think that's something that's super, super dope about her. Another thing is, I think she's really good defensively too. And she's another player who can defend multiple positions, obviously being a big guard, you know, so she's going to apply tremendous pressure on a lot of smaller guards. So I honestly feel sorry for anybody who has to go against her, who's maybe around like 5'6", 5'7", 5'8" range, because with her height and her size and her mobility, that is going to be hell for a lot of primary scorers, primary ball handlers, et cetera, et cetera. But I love how she's another player that shows a lot of effort on defense. And I think the one thing, like, One thing that stands out to me is how she can recover on defense. So even if a defender can get a first step off of her, she is so good at recovering. You know, there was one play where I saw her. She was defending a player on the wing. A player set a ball screen. She went under the screen. Player tried to attack the basket, and then boom, here comes Aubrey Beckham out of nowhere, being able to swat the shot from behind. So I love that effort. I love the effort because a lot of defenders, whenever they do get hit with a ball screen, they'll mostly just initiate that switch and just allow whoever is defending the big to just go ahead and defend the smaller player. But she shows that she could fight through screens if needed be and be able to recover. It's almost like in a way Sarah Bajetti. You know, if y'all, for those who love Sarah Bajetti during her time at Florida State, she refused to go under ball screens. She refused that 100%. She was always looking to stay on her primary defender, and she was going to wreak havoc defensively. Not saying that Aubrey Beckham is just as aggressive as Sarah Bajetti was, but she's another player that's capable of coming or just, you know, fighting through that screen and just being able to stick on to her defender. So that's what I love for her as well. But she could fit with this Florida State team so well, because I feel like if she were to choose Florida State, she would fit so perfectly. And I believe that she could easily be one of the leading factors. Like, she has she just has that leadership mentality with her to where she can set the tone on the court. She can set the tone off the court. I don't know if she's really vocal. I'll have to go back and check if she's really vocal, but she could have potential to be a leader on the sideline from that aspect as well. So, like, when you have a player of that caliber who is an elite guard, who is an elite playmaker, et cetera, et cetera, like, that's who you want to lead the way. And I think Aubrey Beckham is really good at all of those things. But like I say, you know, the visit is July 7th to the 9th. I hope that it goes well. I really hope that it goes well. Like I said, give credit to the coaching staff and give credit to the program as a whole. They've been really aggressive at pursuing a lot of these high school prospects. I talked about a couple of them in the last episode, and now I had to bring up another one. And there's more that they recruited that I haven't discussed yet that I'll probably discuss next episode. But Aubrey Beckham is the one. She is 100% the one. Like, definitely one of my personal favorites to watch over the past recent days. And I really do hope that this visit goes well. Like I said, July 7th through the 9th. So if you want to add that to your calendar for all the Florida State women's basketball fans, if you want to add that to your calendar, I would highly advise y'all to do that. And then if you guys want to chat with me, if you guys want to DM me on X, or just, you know, even mention me on X, you know, to see how the visit goes. I don't know exactly how it'll go. I could possibly get some sources that'll tell me, and then I'll be able to share that information. But keep yourself updated. Keep yourself updated in the best way possible, because if we could be able to grab a player like of this caliber, I think it'd be a huge steal for the team. Switching topics once again, let's keep this thing moving. Let's talk about some NBA draft. Obviously, we know that Jameer Watkins had declared for the draft, then forego the NBA draft. He actually had a really good combine, as far as from what I heard. I didn't get a chance to actually watch it, but I do plan on going back to watch over the weekend. So I'll probably clip up some highlights of him and then post them on my X page. So, you know, if you follow me there, please be on the lookout for that, because I want to be able to share that, because I thought, at least from what I heard, he had some really good moments, especially defensively. So I'm very intrigued to see, you know, what he was able to do, because, you know, Jameer has always been an elite two-way player. And that's why myself and a lot of Seminole fans are excited that he's coming back for another season with Florida State. But that's not the guy we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Darren Green Jr. and his potential at being drafted in this year's draft. So for those who are NBA draft gurus, for those who really follow the NBA and you really dive into these prospects, you know, the narrative has been this draft is weak. And I understand it from people's perspective. You know, there isn't a consensus superstar. There isn't a consensus franchise player. And I get that. You know, I mean, especially when you look at last season, you got Victor Wembanyama number one. Everybody knew, even if you watched him overseas beforehand, you knew that this guy has superstar potential. He still does. Hell, he was by far the best rookie to me. And it's not a knock to anybody else. I thought that Brandon Miller had a really spectacular year. Scoot Henderson, you know, whenever he was in the lineup, he had some really good moments as well. But it was a clear cut that Victor Wembanyama was by far the best rookie in that draft class. And when you looked at what he was able to do offensively and defensively, it was no question. It was no question that, you know, people saw him and said, yo, like, this guy can one day possibly be the face of the NBA. So the future is bright for him. But there isn't necessarily that type of guy in this draft class. And to be honest, that's okay. That's honestly okay. You know what I mean? Because I feel like there's a lot of great talent in this draft class who honestly could be a number one option and could blossom into a franchise player. You just never know, honestly. You just never know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys who have had interesting journeys to where they weren't really looked upon as like a standout talent. And then once they got to the league, they just figured it out. And then they were just able to blossom into this all-star caliber player and then potentially an NBA champion. So you just never know. I mean, a lot of these guys' stories are still being written. So we can't just assume what their career is going to be right now at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. You know what I'm saying? We have to see where the journey takes them. But like I say, you know, Darren Green Jr. is a part of this draft. I had some conversations with a couple of guys. He had a couple workouts with the Sacramento Kings, the Washington Wizards, the Golden State Warriors, the Brooklyn Nets, and then there's a few other teams as well. And apparently they all went pretty well. They all went pretty well. A couple of the scouts, GMs, you know, they were really impressed with what he was able to bring to the table, you know, in those workouts and in those drills. So at least it's positive signing. At least it's positive signs. You know, especially as the draft is like a little less than 2 weeks away. So, you know, those are definitely some positive signs. And obviously for Florida State fans, you guys already know what Darren Green is capable of bringing to the table. He is a sniper from 3-point range. He shot 45% for his career from three. I know that throughout his time at Florida State, he had his moments where he was an elite shooter. Then he had his moments where he couldn't buy a basket. But at the end of the day, regardless of if he was making his shots or not, the defense always had to stay attached to him because he was such a great player moving without the basketball, being able to run baseline, being able to come off of back screens, being able to come off of pin downs. And once he got a little bit of momentum and he had a little bit of space to operate, once he caught the ball, he let it fly. And then boom. One of the things that I always had an issue with Darren Green Jr. is just his ability to, was the fact that he would catch the ball, gather himself, and then try to shoot a jumper. And I felt like that took him way out of rhythm, honestly. Like, he's a guy where it's like he has to be in one rhythm. He has to be in one motion. He can't be a guy that says, you know, I'm going to catch the ball, take a couple dribbles, and then shoot. Now, look, I'm not saying that he missed every one of those shots. I'm not going to say that, but that's not a strong shoot. Yeah, strong suit. He is a catch-and-shoot guy. And especially with an NBA like this where the three-point shot is utilized to its highest potential. I want to say, like, the three-point shot in the NBA has got to have, like, the highest usage of any shot. You know, any other shot, whether it's a dunk, layup, a mid-range shot, foul line shot, whatever it is, the three-point shot is utilized at its fullest potential in the NBA. And that's why we see a lot of these high-scoring games. Like, we'll have games where it's, like, 145 to like 137 or something like that, you know, when it's still in regulation and everybody's like, yo, what the hell's going on? You know, there's no defense being played, but it's like, when you're making like 1923s, that's what's going to happen. You're going to put a lot of points on the board. So that's just the era that we're in the NBA. So if you ask me, I think Derrick Green Jr.'s play style fits in the NBA perfectly. Now, look, I'm not expecting him to be a franchise player, and that's fine. He can still make an impact on a young team. Now, where do I have him possibly being landed in the draft if he does get drafted? I don't know if Darren Green Jr. could be a first-round pick, but I'll say this. He can definitely go in the second round, 31 through 60. Why not? Why not, honestly? You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that there are a lot of teams in this league right now that could use shooters. And on top of that, I think it would be beneficial for him to go in the second round because that means that you could possibly land on a team. Not saying that he would land on a championship contending team, but he could potentially land on a team that is a young, up-and-coming team that's on the rise. You know what I'm saying? They're building for the future. They're not one of the lower-ranked teams in the NBA, but, you know, they're building themselves. They may be a playing team, or they may be one of the top maybe six teams in a conference, you know, who knows. But he could be one of those guys, you know what I'm saying? They're, you know, he's playing with a bunch of veterans, or he's playing with a bunch of young all-stars, and he'll be able to soak in everything that he learns from those players. Like, for instance, like let's say hypothetically the Thunder have a second round pick. I don't know exactly, you know, I don't have like the actual, like, I don't have the actual, like, you know, picks on my, all, you know, like right in front of me. But let's say hypothetically, Darren Green Jr. got drafted to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And now you get a chance to share the locker room with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, with Jalen Williams, with Chet Holmgren, with Josh Giddey, with Lou Dort, and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, that was a great team. That was a team that got to the second round of the NBA playoffs. So now you're fresh coming out of college, and you're able to be with this team in the growth, and you're able to grow with them. That could be a great situation for him. You know what I'm saying? And even if he doesn't get minutes out the jump, and even if he would have to step into the G League and play for the OKC Blue, that's still great development, because you're going to be able to be with a team who is building themselves and learning how to win together. So you're able to, you will be able to, as a young player, be able to soak in all of that and take it with you, honestly. Or let's say, for instance, he could be drafted by, I don't know, the Brooklyn Nets or something. You know, the Brooklyn Nets are kind of in a weird situation. You know, it's kind of a rebuilding process. But, you know, it seems like to me, the Nets are still pretty decent. You know, I'm not going to say that they're a playoff team by any means, because I don't believe that at all. But they're building something for the future. They're really building something. And, you know, that could be another great situation for Darren Green Jr. Who knows? But like I say, you know, like, I don't know if I have him being a first round pick. Most definitely not. But second round pick, I think, could be very beneficial for him. And who says that you can't have a great career being from the second round? I mean, look at Nikola Jokic, who is now a three-time MVP and an NBA champion. He was a second-round draft pick. You look at a guy like Draymond Green for the Golden State Warriors, who was a second-round draft pick as well. Four-time NBA champion, defensive player of the year, multiple-time All-Star, you name it. So who says that you can't have a great career as a second-round draft pick? You may not be the favorite. You may not be the most popular. But you still have potential to be very effective, honestly. So, you know, this could be a great situation for Darren Green Jr. I mean, I'm definitely happy that, you know, he was able to get these workouts in. You know, I'm glad that they all went well. And like I said, the draft is like a little less than 2 weeks away. So who knows? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe we can hear that man's name, you know, being called upon, you know, at the NBA draft. And even if not, Even if his name is not mentioned, it does not mean that it's over. You know, so he can sign with a G League team, or he could even be a walk-on somewhere else. So just because, even if his name is not named in the draft, it's not over. So I just want people to know that. And I'm glad that Derrick Green Jr. is still pursuing basketball even after his college career, because I do believe that he can be great professionally. And the NBA could, you know, really use, like, I think almost any team in the NBA at this point can use a sniper. And Darren Green Jr. is capable of being a sniper by any means. And before we get out of here, we got some other breaking news. Well, I wouldn't say it's breaking news, but, you know, it's just some updates. I ain't gonna say it's like breaking news, like urgent, that you got to know about. But I'm here to let you guys know that the ACC-SEC Challenge will take place once again this upcoming season. And we do have some new matchups. Now, look, we have to redeem ourselves, because last year, Florida State, the men's team, they lost to Georgia, and that game still gives me nightmares. That game still gives me nightmares, because we were playing so good throughout the first half, and even during the first half of the second half, we were up 61-44. I'll never forget. The Noles are pushing the ball in transition. They get Darren Green a transition three on the right wing. He laces it. They're up 61-44. So everybody, you know, I remember I was texting a couple of my friends. I'm like, yes, we're finally going to get this win, because especially around that time too, because Florida State was really struggling. I want to say around the time Cam Corn had went out with the toe injury or something like that. So we were really struggling to get some wins. And that could have been a very, very important win. Now, I don't know if I'm necessarily correct. I'll have to go back and look at the schedule, but I know it was around that time where we did go on a losing streak. So that was at that moment, whenever we went up 17, it looked like we were about to win that game. Unfortunately, the Georgia Bulldogs, they responded very well, climbed their way back into the game. I don't know the players off the top of my head, but I know one player hit a game winning shot, and then the rest was history, man. The rest was history. Ended up losing that game. Then on the women's side, they played Arkansas, and they just got cooked, mostly in the second half. The first half, they I'll be real. I mean, they kept it close in the first half, but the second half, you know, once Arkansas got off to a strong third quarter and they were blowing us out, like there was no coming back from that. So this past season, the ACC-SEC challenge didn't necessarily work in our favor, but now we have a chance to do it all over again, man. So we'll talk about the men's side, who will be playing LSU on December 3rd. Now, for those who are real college heads, you know, y'all obviously know that the LSU Tigers on the men's side has not been as successful. They just finished their second season under head coach Matt McMahon, and they have a 31-35 overall record with him. So, and on top of that, they finished 2-16 in SEC play. Is either last year or the year before? I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. I read it earlier before I started the show, but. Yeah, so LSU was clearly one of the more bottom-ranked teams in the SEC. So this matchup could possibly work in our favor. Who knows? But obviously the key is remaining disciplined all 40 minutes. If we have a sizable lead, maintain a sizable lead, continue to set the tone defensively, continue to wreak havoc, force turnovers, not allow easy opportunities, continue to initiate ball movement with the screen action, pick and rolls, finding open shooters, setting screens off of pin downs. You know, it's just a mixture of everything that this team has to do in order to get the win. And I know that this is practically a new team, so there's new personnel on this team, but considering that we are facing an LSU team who is one of the bottom ranked teams in the SEC, and even I think this upcoming season, they're not really projected to be as great either. So this should be a win. I'm assuming it's a win. Now look, we still have another 5-6 months. So we could possibly look back at this podcast and say, oh man, it was wrong or it was right. Who knows? But this is just my assumption. I'm always going to be optimistic. We have to speak optimism. So like I say, you know, we have a lot to prove this year. And then of course, you know, we have to redeem ourselves from last year. Now, as for the women's side, they have to face Tennessee the next day on December 4th. And for those who watched last year, whenever Tennessee, the Volunteers, came to Tallahassee, that was a classic. That was an instant classic. I mean, you had star power Tania Ladson against Rekia Jackson. And then you had other great players as well. Jewel Spear, who we all know who Jewel Spear was. Florida State fans should know who she is, especially after the 2023 ACC tournament when she was at Wake Forest, and she just absolutely cooked us in that game, you know, and sent us home in the first round, or sent us out of the tournament in the first round per se. And even her being at Tennessee, I thought the show was really good as well. But you know, if we can get another version in this matchup like we did last year early in the season, because I want to say that was Florida State's like second game of the year. So yeah, it was like their second or third game of the year, and it was just an instant showdown, and it literally came down to the wire. And give credit to a lot of key players. I remember Amaya Bonner hit like a huge three. She hit like a huge three on the left wing, like late in the game. Like it was just a great moment. I wish that I was there. I actually was not there at the game. I want to say actually at the time I was in Oklahoma because I was doing an interview with a high school player. So unfortunately I wasn't able to make that game. But if we get another type of game like that, and this time it's going to be in their home, man, like it could be a game to remember. It literally could be a game to remember. And I know that Tennessee, they've went through a lot of changes as of recent. You know, Kelly Harper was their head coach over the past couple of years. She's no longer there. They just signed Maya Caldwell as their next head coach. Rekia Jackson, who is now in the WNBA with the Los Angeles Sparks, she's no longer there, but they still got Jewel Spear. They still got Ruby Whitehorn. Tamari Key is no longer playing for the team as well, but I think Tennessee still has potentially be a really good team, honestly, this upcoming season. So that could be another instant showdown. Like I said, you know, if it's anything like what we saw in this past season with those two teams, this could be an instant showdown. And like we say, you know, in this ACC-SEC challenge, we got a lot to prove because they got killed last year against Arkansas. And we can't let that happen again, honestly. I mean, I know that they ended up bouncing back, you know, a couple of days later after that, because I want to say we played Kent State after that, and then we ended up getting that win. But yeah, like this ACC-SEC challenge, especially, you know, with non-conference play and all the matches are going to be so intriguing. We got to be able to take advantage. So I'm expecting a Florida State win in that match. I mean, I know it's going to be a hostile crowd on the road, but I think that we can get the job done by any means. But that's going to wrap up this episode. Thank you guys once again for always tuning in, man. I'm trying my best to keep you guys updated with all off-season content. I know that it's slow right now. You know, we're all waiting for the college season to begin again, but we can still talk. We can still talk about a lot of moves, a lot of transactions, some high school players that we may have our eye on, and et cetera, et cetera. But follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Nick Andre ATR. Make sure to check me out on Chop Chat. As you see, I write for Florida State, you know, both men and women's teams, so be able to check out all the past articles that I have there. And like I said, once again, thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.